Welcome to Taking the Rams by the Horns, a podcast that takes current affairs out of current affairs. This is an award-winning podcast in partnership with Sowetan Live. I'm your host, Rems Mawote. South Africa is alive with possibilities. I mean, who would have imagined a former president in jail? A sitting president sleeping on cash, literally. A cabinet minister visiting a common prisoner in jail. Or even the post office operating, even when they have nothing to do.
Can you confirm that delivery performance has dropped?
Welcome to the new Sowetan Live podcast called Taking the Rams by the Horns with me, Rems Mabote. Each week, I will be taking a lighter look at very serious topics that half the time drive you up the wall. This podcast will use humor to take no prisoners, have no holy cows, and cook a whole lot of sacrificial lambs.
Regardless of your own views on Zuma and so on, there must be something to be said about the fact that he doesn't remember anything. How policy, and it's giving leaders and politicians a bad name because politicians may be seen as people who don't want to remember anything. Baba kwala di speech, baba alabari, we will build 1,000 houses in Alexander. Ebasa hupuli. The following day, hi, I don't remember. I may have said it. I can't possibly have promised 1,000 houses, but of course Zuma, of course, promised 5 million jobs.
One of the most remarkable events to take place in South Africa in recent times happened about a week ago when former President Jacob Zuma offered an exclusive interview to the Sunday Times. No doubt, it was also one of the most stupid events. Zuma's PR backfired as the Sunday Times once again did nothing to make him look unrealistically good. For the Sunday Times, it was much ado about nothing. The paper got nothing out of the long-awaited interview. Interviewing Zuma was Sunday Times political editor Sibongakonke Shoba, himself about a quarter of the age of Zuma. So, as you can imagine, it was a chat between a generation nearing extinction and another one living without distinction. No slight against my friend Shoba. I mean the generation, not the man himself. The outcome of this interview was a lengthy yet empty article on the Sunday Times last weekend in which Shoba used more than 1,000 words to tell us what Zuma did not say. You have to admire the bravery of journalists. Titled In Cloud Zumaland, euphemism for Cloud Kakuland, the article, better known as an op-ed article in print journalism, was most interesting when Shoba did not refer to the interview. The introduction was iconic, reminding us of how much Zuma has hated the Sunday Times since the days of Mondli Makanya as editor. In fact, Zuma hated the Sunday Times, even for Makanya's writings on his sister newspaper, The Sowetan. I don't know why Zuma offered Shoba the interview, but even more intriguing, I do not know why Shoba wanted to interview Zuma unless he wanted to travel to Devon, claim some S&T from the company, and even have a chuckle over, you know, a paper revolutionary who is trying to convince himself and the entire South Africa that is the best thing since Magesi FC. To his credit, 9 million voters whose votes were stolen by the IEC believe him. So does Jimmy Manye. And so, to save myself the agony, I thought I should haul Shoba into my studio so that he can explain to me and you why and how he could expand so much ink on what could have summed up in a few words. Quote, those that the gods seek to destroy, first they make mad. Singanga.
What an introduction, Singanga.
Are you well?
No, I'm good, Singanga. I'm good.
Thank you for coming. I promise I read this piece, right? I'm like going... No, I play golf on Sundays. I didn't play this Sunday, so I read the paper first. What's the story? Did you walk away thinking the same thing that I was thinking after reading it?
No. Thanks for inviting me, Singanga. Firstly, we had to do the interview. There are many reasons to that. The first one is that we haven't spoken to or had a chat with the former president ever since I started working here.
And that's been long.
That's been very long.
Yes.
and it's not been without trying. There were a number of times when we sent requests to his spokesperson, whether it was Meg Maharaj, whether it was Bongani Ngulunga, and we've never received a positive response. In occasions where we've had an opportunity to meet the former president, we've also asked them, why are you not granting us an interview? As you've just stated correctly in your introduction, he was not really impressed with how the Sunday Times had been writing about him throughout the years, since the days of Mondli Makanya. So this was one of the reasons why he never wanted to talk to the Sunday Times. Secondly, no matter what we think of our President Jacob Zuma, he is still very influential in our politics.
Oh, without a doubt.
Getting more than 14% in the last elections.
In six months of existence.
It's no small feat. So he is someone who's very influential in our politics. There are a lot of people who believe in him. And what I wanted for the interview, firstly, I didn't go there to have a sparring match with the former President Jacob Zuma. I went there to get a sense of his state of mind. We've been writing and speculating about his plans and why he formed the MK party and what is his end goal. That's all I wanted from that interview. I feel that whether it makes sense to me or to the next person, he did sort of explain the reasons why he formed the MK party and the end goal. But look, the MK party without Zuma is, I don't see them making any impact. So
we shall get to that. Mm. We shall get to that. I have to ask this because I've had some experience. So this question comes with a bit of context.
Yes.
Did he stay awake during the interview?
For his age, for an 82-year-old, he is a very healthy young fellow.
So I'll take that as a yes.
So he was awake the whole duration. And I must say that there were times where I felt I enjoyed the chat. There were times where I felt that he was just going on and on. Mm. There are times where I felt
Did you stay awake?
I stayed awake. I was very much entertained at times. It's one of
was
those.
Was it the alcohol before or after that kept you entertained?
Afterwards. But really, the other thing that I felt that Jacob Zuma knows that some of the things he was saying, he knows that are not true. Or some of them, he knows that he's making statements that don't make sense to me and to my readers, which is why I took the opportunity to then put that in writing to say, he's talking about roads that are not tarred, Black people that are still oppressed.
I mean, he speaks as if he was never president of the ANC.
He was never even in government.
Yes.
This is a man who's been in government since 1994, who was an MEC, who was a deputy president and went on to be president. So I felt that getting into some kind of sparring match with him would waste my time because I've been allocated a slot and there was a time limit. And I wanted to get into his thinking. I need to understand his state of mind and his plans and where he's coming from. And I think I got that space of time that I was looking
to. I was personally, I felt like you're speaking to somebody who's never been a member of the ANC, let alone even president, right? And I mean, we know he was a member of the ANC for more than 60 years. He speaks against non-racialism. He speaks against the constitution that the ANC birthed. I mean, he speaks about, I would have been shocked. I would have said and think, sorry?
Yes, this is someone who for a very long time was preaching, talking about the NDR, National Democratic Revolution.
Yeah.
Talk about National Democratic Society, non-racial, non-sexist, democratic. And I think the former president has studied his support base and he has realized that that's what they want to hear. And he's not talking to us who know that he's been in government for such a long time. some of us who know that this man used to believe in the Freedom Charter. He is talking to people that he thinks that will then be mobilized by the message that he's sending out, telling them that black people have not been liberated, they are still not free, only white people are free. Because he is taking advantage of the suffering of black people. There are a lot of black people who are unemployed, who are in checks,
millions,
have no access to water, no access to housing and electricity. And he's talking to them. He wants to say, I'll come in, I'll be your savior. Not that those people don't know that he was once president, but they are just looking for a message of hope that maybe someone out there cares for us. And he's rebranding himself to be that person. Whether some of us are buying into it, I don't think he cares.
Is it possible, though, that he's probably coming out? I mean, maybe this guy, young teenager ends up in exile, firstly in jail, then in exile, ends up in the hands of the ANC. But for all those years, maybe he actually did not believe in this thing. And maybe this is the real him coming out.
I must say that before I did this interview, when he was campaigning, talking about sending young pregnant girls
to Robben Island.
Yeah. And other weird ideas, I managed to chat to some people who've worked with him before, and they were saying these were the things we were managing during his time as president. These are some of the things that we were managing, the messaging. There are some of the things that he believed in that we were able to control to say, but you can't say that in public. This is the government policy. This is what your party believes in, and so on and so forth. So you are right. I don't think in the MK they care so much about controlling his messaging. I think what is important to them is him being there.
Well, he owns the MK. They can't control anything. But, in the entire chat, how long did the chat last?
It was almost 50 minutes.
Good.
Yeah, yeah.
And at which point did you get the temptation to say,
When he spoke about changing the electoral system and saying that there is no democracy in this country. And there I couldn't sit there anymore. I was like, but no, you were elected through the same system. And then he said, but I spoke about it at the time. But I'm like, when? Who heard you?
The archives don't show us there. Do you think he believes his PR, or he's doing it for the constituency?
Which PR? The interview that he...
The stuff, conducted. The kind of stuff that he says, the kind of thing that he's promising, the kind of revolution that he's speaking about. Do you think he truly believes?
I think he believes in the message working for him. I think the message will resonate with the constituency that he's looking for. As I said before, it won't resonate with you and I, but I think he has found a niche market where he says, these are the people I'm going to talk to, and this is what they want to hear.
As you left that room, did you feel like I got something out of this?
As I left that room, I walked out saying that I got him to talk to me about his plan and why he went this route, and I got to understand his state of mind. He's very old. He's 82 years.
Which was going to be my next question. I mean, shouldn't you be interviewing John Hlophe, Dr. John Hlophe, or even the future president Duduzile Zuma?
It's like going to the EFF and say you're going to interview Pambo instead of Judas. You need to talk to the man who actually runs the organization. And I think there is no one else in that party than Jacob Zuma. You know what happens in MK. You are Secretary General today. We go talk to you, interview you. The next morning, you are nothing.
Yes. Yes. What is his game plan in your view?
You see, before I spoke to him, I had spoken to people around him. And there are people who believe in that project. They believe this is a new party that will take over after the ANC in their minds. And they were saying that their frustration is that they don't know whether Zuma also holds the same belief, because he's someone who still who still believes very much in the ANC, and it's someone who wants to die an ANC member. And for him to talk about his plan to retake the ANC, confirm those concerns.
So the plan is to retake the ANC, not to kill the ANC.
No. Jacob Zuma believes that he can take over the ANC from the people who are leading the ANC today. And he believes that he will do so by weakening the ANC to a point where even people within the ANC will say, but these people who are leading us are not really suitable for this position. And they will buy into whatever proposal he will make to then take over the ANC.
Does he speak anything about the next election, the local government elections? Does he think they want to grow bigger? They're going to become a much stronger force?
That was my frustration in that interview because I did ask that question about their plans for the next elections and their targets and which areas they plan to win. But he just said, no, we are going to... The MK Party is going to win because we're going to liberate our people, blah, blah, blah. But there was no substance in terms of saying that this is our plan. These are the metros we are targeting. We are targeting Johannesburg, eThekwini, Pretoria. And you are going to take over. And if we don't, we're going to work with Party X and Party Z. There was none of that. And even after the interview, as we were walking out, I said to him, but you haven't opened up about your plan and your target. He says, no, man, we are going to win. Don't worry.
Now, I could get killed for what I'm about to say. But we know he did not read the article, but his people did. Any feedback?
No, not at all.
Yeah.
I'm sure if there was any concern about the interview, I would have received at least one call.
Yeah.
But no, I haven't received any feedback. The only feedback that I have seen is on social media of people commenting. And then there is Julius Malema who also commented and said, I let the old man get away with murder because we didn't probe his lies. But from the MK itself, I don't know if they didn't read the article or they just felt that, nah, we expected something like this from the Sunday Times.
In fact, it's a matter of interest. Did he say anything about the EFF?
President Zuma, during the interview?
Yeah,
he said a lot about the EFF. In fact, the EFF is part of his plans. Remember, Julius Malema gave an interview where he said that there was a proposal by Dalim Bofu that all these black parties who are in the Progressive Caucus should just collapse
into MK.
Yes, and form under the MK umbrella. And he was saying that the day that happens, he said it in Zulu. He said, Ngiyogiya ngalelola.
Well, I even thought maybe the interview was in Zulu. The complete interview was in Zulu.
And he says definitely that's what he wants. He wants all these parties to fall under the MK. And he says that the EFF is a key part of that plan because without all these parties coming together, you sort of can't really defeat the ANC.
So without feedback, we should not be worried that you won't be barred at Moses Mabhida for the first anniversary gig.
I don't think so.
But for if for nothing else, at least you must go for more S&T.
That's not a bad idea, Singana.
I think we should go. Thank you very much. Folks, you must read this piece. It was last Sunday in the Sunday Times. A beautiful piece, by the way. As I say, I walked away empty, but I loved the interview. That's why I called the man here. Sibongile Shoba, the boss of politics in the Sunday Times. Ngiyabonga mfethu.
No, thank you so much. No, thank you so much for inviting me.
Sharp. Thank you for listening to this episode of Taking the Rams by the Horns. Download the My Sowetan app and listen to more of my podcasts. We are also on Spotify. Follow us on X at Rams by the Horns and at Sowetan Live. Please send your comments to me via email on rams@ramsmabote.com. Let me know what you think of the podcast. Or better still, let me be your MC, keynote speaker, or facilitator at your next event. It is the only thing I do better than satire and sarcasm. Remember to buy and read my new book, The Sweetest Taboo, available at your nearest bookstore. From me, Rems Mabote, goodbye and God bless.